بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Last week we were discussing, rather 2 weeks ago we started the discussion of Mujaddid Al-Fithani Rahmatullah Ali. And for a person to appreciate why he was known as the Mujaddid of the second millennium was because of the challenges that he faced in his time. And as we said, just to refresh some of the lessons, that one of the greatest tests of the time of Mujaddid Al-Fithani Rahmatullah Ali was Akbar. As we said, Akbar is a person, Muslim by name, not encouraged to keep the name, but it's Islamic, Allahu Akbar. So just the outer forms of a person is not sufficient. Sometimes that can take a person even further away from the deen of Islam. As we said, what is very important, especially with us, that we are fortunate in South Africa that we have ulama-i haqq in the different madaris, the different khankas, the different efforts of deen. We have such ulama that will not waver away from sirat-i mustaqim no matter what is the situation. So we are fortunate, alhamdulillah, we have that guidance with us. We need to hold on to it. So Akbar was the king of the time. And from one extreme, meaning there was some deen, but because of no effort being made on that iman or on his deen, he formulates his own religion, deen ilahi, which was the greatest fitna of the time that Mujaddid Al-Fithani Rahmatul Ali was now facing. We discussed Mujaddid Al-Fithani Rahmatul Ali, his name is Ahmad from Sir Hind. We explained, we discussed his generosity, that approximately every day 60 to 80 people used to eat of his dasturkhan. So this is one of the secret ingredients of reaching to a person's heart. It'amu ta'am is to feed the people. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one narration gives the secret ingredient to us, that feed the people, make salam very common amongst you, maintain family ties, you'll enter Jannah with salam, with ease, with peace. So these are, in one narration, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, two things if you have to do, you'll win anyone's heart. Two things if a person can do, Nabi Sallam encouraged it. Two from these that we have discussed. One is it'amu ta'am, one is ifsha'u salam. Whether you know the person or you don't know the person. I mean, how often isn't it the case that you see a person, the only thing you did was made salam to him and it broke the ice. He's like, Islam, walaikum salam, where are you from? How are you? You okay? That's all. The only thing you made was you made salam. So, ifsha'u salam ala man araft wa man lam ta'rif. That to make salam to whoever a person, whether you know his name, you don't know his name. So that's one of the secrets. Then, Mujaddid Al-Fithani Rahmatul Ali, we discussed the love for the sunnah that he had in his life. Gee, that's where we stopped last week. And Mujaddid Al-Fithani Rahmatul Ali, we says, Akbar was 950 to 1014 Islamic. Mujaddid Al-Fithani Rahmatullah Ali was 971 to 1034. So his age was 63 when he passed away. The deep rooted love he had for Sunnah, we explained last week, we gave a few incidents, that love. So when a person treads that path of that love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala accepts the person to such detail of the Sunnah, that even he passed away at the age of 63. Nabi Sam passed away at the age of 63. It doesn't mean now you must make dua, Ya Allah, grant me the sunnah, death also, it must pass away at 63. This was for those people that were very close. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away at the age of 63. Umar radiallahu anhu, 63. Uthman radiallahu anhu. So these two sahaba rather were 63 years of age when they passed away. Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, from the Khulafa. So that was because of the deep love that they had for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Here Mujaddid Al-Fithani Rahmatullah Ali is 63. He passes away at that age. Now Mujaddid Al-Fithani Rahmatullah Ali, how does he bring about a change? Because we have the king of the time, Akbar. Mujaddid Al-Fithani Rahmatullah Ali is there with his knowledge. He's got the skill of writing, of oratory skill. Now, how does he make the change? Because this king is oppressive. He's authoritative. So either he could have attempted a coup Well, it was attempted and small bands of people were put away. They were wiped off the surface of the earth. So he thought to himself, now what do I do? There's one of two options. Either it's Josh or either it's Hosh. Either I use my strength and my force and I can try and break him, or either I need to, you know, be calculative. I need to calculate my stance, be measured in my plan of action. What do I do? So Mujaddid al-Fithani rahmatullah ali opted for the second. He says, listen, people are trying with their might and their force. They're not succeeding in overpowering Akbar of the time. So he was working from behind the scenes. Now, working from behind the scenes, as we discussed, number one, he created his ta'alluq with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. His tahajjud salah was half the night. His tahajjud salah used to be half the night. That is why they say, that person who makes the effort of the night, that's half the effort. And that person who makes the effort of the day, that's also half the effort. Both have to be coupled. In Surah Muzammil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, Ya ayyuhal muzammil qumi layla illa qaleela. Meaning with regards to a person's effort of the night first. Then, inna laka fil nahari sabhan tawila. That a person has to make the effort of the day. Meaning to invite people to the deen of Allah, remind them of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remind the person of the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So both these efforts are very important. So he was building on his ta'alluq with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Mujaddid al-Fithani rahmatul alayhi. And now comes the time that Akbar, the king of the time, he passes away at 10:14. But it was still not the time for Mujaddid al-Fithani rahmatul alayhi to be very vociferous or to be very strong against the king, his son Jahangir. So what does Mujaddid al-Fithani rahmatul alayhi do? He thinks about it. He says, instead of losing his son, because his son obviously was treading the path of the father, but he wasn't as bad as the father. He was treading that path, but not as bad. Because Akbar wanted to efface Islam, get it off the out of the dunya. But the son wasn't as bad. So he thought about it. What does he do? He started writing letters. This is how he brings about a change in the world. Worry and concern for the deen in the world. He writes letters to the ministers of that empire, the Mughal empire. All the ministers, he writes letters. This is a letter from Mujaddid. He gives his name, Sheikh Ahmed. If you have any, and he explains to them the truth of the deen of Islam, what we need to stand for, the incorrect beliefs of Akbar, the previous king, and he gives them some hope and explains to them what will be the reward if they stand for the true deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He writes to each one of them and he gets the response from them. And in a matter of a few years, his muridin are in great numbers. He's got a lot of murids around the whole, the then Muslim world. Meaning his murids were in Turkey, in Syria, around the world. Now he dispatches jamaats around the world. Meaning in his area, in his madrasa or his area of ibadah, his masjid, he used to teach people the correct deen, meaning contrary to what Akbar was propagating and teaching the people. After he reached a time when he realized he was a man of influence. He could influence the thoughts, the minds, everything, the hearts of people were in his hand. Now Mujaddid al-Fithani rahmatullahi dispatches people. He used to send two at a time to the different countries or the different areas of the world, to Turkey, to Syria, to some of the other Arab countries, and the entire subcontinent. He sends two people to teach the people the correct deen. So everyone is receiving someone to teach them the deen. One is just reading. One is just listening. One is having a person in front of you who's telling you the truth. He's teaching you the truth and the haqq. Obviously, that message is a little bit more effective. That's far more reaching in effects. So that's important. That is why, as we always explain, that there are two things for this as a source of hidayat. One is Rijalullah, and one is Kitabullah. One is the men of Allah, and one is the books of Allah. But the men of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we're talking about the prophets, the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, 124,000 in number. The books that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, four main books, Quran, Tawrat, Zabur, Injil, and there were certain suhuf and scrolls, scriptures that were given to certain Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. So the number of Anbiya outweighs the number of books that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never ever sent a book only. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first sent a Nabi and then He'll send a Kitab. Which meant that you need to follow the person of the Kitab. Don't go directly to the Kitab. Listen, He'll explain to you how do you, what's the application of every verse or commandment of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Yes, the source of hidayat is the book of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But your guidance, your role model is the Nabi of the time. Our role model is Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Never ever did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, read my ahadith, you'll know how to perform salah. He told sahaba radiallahu anhum, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Perform salah as you see me performing salah. Yes, the ahadith are there. But you'll perform how? How you saw Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam performing the salah. So Mujaddid al-Fithani rahmatullahi alayhi, send jamaat, send two people to teach the masses the correct religion, the correct deen. Now again, you know, again the spanner in the works. The person who always was not the khair kha, he was not the well-wisher of the deen of Islam, the Shia of the time. They come and whisper into Jahangir's ears and say, you know what? The Murideen of Mujaddid al-Fithani are far more than your own followers. It seems like he's going to topple you very soon. So this message came to him. He says, you know what, that is a possibility. But he didn't really buy into the idea. In the end of the day, he knew Mujaddid al-Fithani rahmatullahi was a person of integrity, very pious. So he left it. And they came back to him and said, you know what, he's coming to visit you. But when he comes to visit you, a sign that he doesn't honor you, he'll disrespect you. You ask him to make sajda in front of you, he'll never do it. So obviously, who's going to make sajda in front of insan? So this was their plan. So he was worried in the end of the day about his kingdom. Mujaddid al-Fithani rahmatullahi enters. He asks him to bow down to make sajda. He refuses. He imprisons him. Mujaddid al-Fithani rahmatullahi, 2 years he's in prison. But there's a bright side to that. He doesn't take it as a negative. He doesn't put up a fuss. No resistance. He says, you're sending me to jail, no problem. So command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he goes to jail. He was in jail for 2 years. What does he do? In jail, he makes an effort on the inmates of the jail. Every one of them become his murids. Every one of them. Meaning, I gave da'wat outside, I've got my followers. Now Allah is giving me an opportunity to do the da'wat of Yusuf now. The da'wat of Yusuf alayhi salam in the jail. So he's got followers amongst the inmates of the jail. Eventually, after 2 years, the Jahangir, the king of the time, he has a dream. In this dream, he sees Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in clear words, he mentions to Jahangir, he says, I am absolutely very, very upset with you that you put my very close friend into jail. He woke up, he's disturbed. He can't control himself. He himself goes to the jail and takes Mujaddid al-Fithani rahmatullahi out of the jail. Doesn't let him go home to his own hometown. You stay in my palace. Whatever I require, any assistance, you'll be the one to decide in all of our matters. So he worked very subtly from behind the scenes. And until he came to this position, that now the king of the time, Jahangir, is ready to listen to anything of Mujaddid al-Fithani rahmatullahi. So in our times also, whatever difficulty a person has to face, any difficulty, there's two ways of tackling any problem. Maybe there's a marital problem. Sometimes a financial problem. There's two ways. One is you take the bull by the horns, but you must be ready for the kickback. You have to be ready for some problem. You must be ready for some repercussions to it. You must be ready. And one is using some wisdom, making mashwara with the ulama, with the pious and the mashayikh of the time, and getting guidance of how to come out of the mess, how to take yourself out of the problem. Now, Mujaddid al-Fithani Rahmatul Ali, the Jahangir obviously now starts making changes in the kingdom, in his empire, the Mughal empire. Changes start coming about. Once again, the deen of Islam, the spirit, the love for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revived. People are worried, concerned for the love for sunnah that comes, love for Quran Kareem, love for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for every aspect of the deen. So he made an effort and he passed away. Very few years after his release, 5 years after his release, he passed away. 1034, he passes away. The kings that came after, with the kings that maybe we read about, or we heard about maybe Shah Jahan, we heard about, and his efforts for the deen. We maybe heard about Aurangzeb, Alamgir Aurangzeb. We must have heard about him, that he was one of the kings of the Mughal Empire to come after Mujaddid al-Fithani Rahmatul Ali. But all of this reward credited to who? Mujaddid al-Fithani Rahmatul Ali. Allama Alamgir Aurangzeb, who was the king of the time, known as a very pious person, he out of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala became a hafidhul Quran at the age of 54. 54 years old, he became hafidhul Quran. He never used to take any salary for his personal needs from the public treasury. Never took a cent. For his earnings, he used to write the Quran Kareem, make copies of Quran and sell the Quran. That was his earning. Oh, he used to make topis. He used to make hats. Qalan suwa in Arabic. He used to make hats, topis, and he used to sell. And this was his income. So this was that piety that eventually came into that lineage or into that kingdom, all because of the efforts of Mujaddid al-Fithani Rahmatul Ali. So these are the lessons from the life of Mujaddid al-Fithani Rahmatul Ali. But the important thing for us to remember is that the Shia is never the well-wisher of the deen of Islam. It's someone that we always have to be careful about. Always. We find that in the time of Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatul Ali, he became the person who was who conquered Masjid al-Aqsa, who got back Masjid al-Aqsa, Muharrir al-Aqsa, Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatul Ali. It was only approximately 67 years later, after Salahuddin Ayyubi passes away, is the lands of al-Aqsa lost again. Only 67 years. And the king of the time was Muslim, or the ruler of that time, the Khalifa, he was a Muslim. But who was the one that opened the ways, or rather created cracks in the foundation of the Khilafat, who allowed this Khilafat to crumble? It was a Shia again, after the time of Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatul Ali. He was the minister of defense. He was in charge of the armies. What did he do? He realized that the enemies are coming to attack, coming to invade. So months before the invasion, and he had wind of this invasion, information about it, he started giving payouts to all the generals. You see, you can go into retirement, early retirement. No, you got early leave for the next 6 months. Don't think there will be anything happening in our, because now for 67 years, there haven't been any war. So you got early leave. And he was giving them early payouts, all of them. So there was no army left when the enemies came to attack. But the problem is, why did the Muslims really lose after Salahuddin Ayyubi? Remember, Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatul Ali was a very pious person. Very pious. So Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatul Ali, with his piety, they gained back Masjid al-Aqsa. But how did the Muslims lose it? That is why Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatul Ali has written a kitab. In that kitab he writes that those that will be controlling Masjid al-Aqsa will be controlling the world. Those that will be in charge of Masjid al-Aqsa, Allah will give them the world to rule. And in the ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that Masjid al-Aqsa is the gauge of the ummah. Masjid al-Aqsa is the gauge of the ummah. If you have it in your control, full control, it means the a'mal of the ummah is on par. And if Masjid al-Aqsa is lost to the Muslim, our collective a'mal is not on par. Collectively, we're not on par as yet. So what was it that after Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatul Ali passed away, slowly there was people were taken to the world, meaning there was overindulgence in the material world, to the extent that on a day of Eid, the Eid Salah, they used to manage to perform it just before sunset. But why just before the sunset they will perform it? Is because every person on the day of Eid must parade the streets with his wealth, with his jewelry, with his assets, with whatever he has. Show the whole world, the community, whatever you have. So each one of them will showcase all his belongings with pomp and glory and show. They used to show off with whatever they earned. Now this became that stepping stone, or rather it opened up the doors of failure to the ummah. When a person was showing off with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed them, they lost Masjid al-Aqsa. The Muslims once again lost it. They had it in the time of Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatul Ali, and 67 years after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability to take the lessons of whatever we have discussed in the life of Mujaddid al-Fithani Rahmatul Ali, especially with regards to the tarbiyat of our children. We discussed the Maktab system. We discussed his marriage to Hindus. We discussed him playing around with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning subjecting the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his own desires, whims and fancies. So all of this was because all of this led to him formulating his own deen ilahi, and he allowed the ilm to, and his knowledge, or rather his skill, and whatever he little he knew, to get to his head. Because of this, that was his downfall. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward each one of us for sitting for the program. Akhir dawan. Subhanallah.